what kind of things have been happening. I've heard tales of Israeli settlers attacking and killing, torturing and murdering Palestinians. I've also heard of Israelis being killed. I've heard that there was, missiles fired at unarmed Palestinian demonstrators, and also that most of the wounds to the Palestinians killed, were to the head or the chest, mostly head wounds, and that medical personnel attempting to rescue Palestinians were killed or shot at.
That's right.
Can you go into some of what has been happening, what is happening right now, how many people dead, wounded, that kind of thing? Can you tell us what's happening?
Okay. Well, the Israeli government has been sort of spouting this rhetoric that the violent nature of the Palestinian people, it's the violence that they're instigating, and the Israeli soldiers are merely trying to quelch these violent clashes and instigations, when in reality what we're seeing is the Palestinian people revolting against 52 years of occupation, and they're saying enough, we can't take this anymore, end the occupation. The only peace that will ever come to the Middle East will be peace with justice for the Palestinians. The Israeli government it has been horribly, violently repressing has been trying to repress the Intifada by means that have been internationally decried as overtly violent methods. Everywhere in the world except for the United States, of course, which is probably Israel's biggest, largest, and most powerful ally, and will probably continue to be for many years. But so part of the policy of sort of quelching the demonstrations and against the Palestinian people have, as you stated, included live ammunition being shot at the demonstrators, many of whom have been young boys, actually, from anywhere from the ages of 10 to 18 years old, and many of these who've been killed have been children. And among the policy of controlling these Palestinians by the Israeli government has been a shoot to kill policy, in which we actually have snipers posted in several different areas of where the clashes have been happening, who have a shoot to kill policy in which they are aiming at people's heads. And I'm sorry, that's just not what you do in order to control a crowd of demonstrators. I just can't understand why everywhere else in the world we're getting there's coverage on this policy, except here in the United States.
Well, that's a good lead-in to one of the other questions I have, actually. I wanted to mention media coverage here and what your take on that is. So if you could just...
Okay. Well, the media coverage here in the United States has been, as most people, I'm sure, who are familiar with what's been going on, has been sort of... atrocious, actually, bordering on the insidious. It's kind of ironic that if you want to really find out what's happening over there, you'll get better coverage of the Intifada in the Israeli papers, so much better than you would ever get here in our American papers, which I find completely ridiculous. I mean, but regardless, I'm sure that it has, a lot to do with the fact that, almost $6 billion of our tax money goes to the State of Israel every year, supporting its occupation of the Palestinian people, supporting its brutal, massacres, and...
Arming the military.
Exactly, arming the military, arming the settlers, the illegal settlers in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, and so I think that sort of, and of course, the power of the Jewish lobby here in this country, both combined sort of, almost force the U.S. media to have this sort of like media blackout of anything that sort of that resembles, you know, more fair, unbiased media coverage.
If all I read was the media here, the mainstream press, that
right.
is, my impression would be that the Palestinians are pretty much exclusively to blame for the violence. That's the depiction that I've been getting. Here's an example. Barak quoted here as saying, "The other side has, at this stage, chosen the path of violence in order to gain by it." Can you respond to that depiction in the U.S. press of the Palestinians as the source of the violence?
Right. Well, I mean, it's really part of a larger plan, or not a larger plan, but sort of the larger rhetoric here of coloring Palestinians as sort of violent creatures who, you know, are violent, are inherently violent, are terrorists at the core, and aren't worth, you know, as, you know, several Israeli government officials, one famous line by one Israeli government official, you know, "Arabs are not worth a Jewish fingernail." There's that, you know, continuation of that kind of thinking even here in the U.S. There's no reason really, you know, here in the U.S. for Palestinians to be humanized in any way, shape, or form, because really the U.S. is completely invested in Israel being sort of the control force in the area because of its imperialist, sort of a plan for the area. Israel is sort of the U.S.'s watchdog, and the U.S. can't really risk any kind of humanization of the Palestinian people, because in a way it'll sort of undermine its plan of the control of the area. It's really a plan to keep the American public from really knowing what's happening on the ground over there, and to really prevent them from having any sort of like the natural human instincts of wait. This is wrong, what's happening. But if we paint the Palestinians as, you know, beasts and horrible, violent creatures, then you're kept from having that natural reaction of like, wait, something's wrong, justice isn't being served here, this is not a good thing. But instead, you have the opposite reaction of, well, wait a second, the Palestinians deserve what's happening to them.
What is the source of the violence, and what is it going to take to achieve peace?
Right. Well, what you see happening is the Palestinians sort of resisting, you know, the occupation. So you have you'll have demonstrations or funerals, which are often, you know, demonstrations through the streets, the streets of the Palestinian towns and villages. And the Israeli government meeting these demonstrations with a huge, unproportionate strike back of force. So, you know, what we've seen are like little Palestinian boys, children who've been, who throw rocks at the Israeli outposts, the Israeli army outposts in near their homes and villages in the West Bank or in the Gaza Strip. And the Israeli army fighting back with tanks, missiles, as you stated previously. Or another example is when there is a violent occurrence where an Israeli is hurt or killed. Also within the West Bank and the Gaza Strip, and this is really important because the U.S. media tends to make it seem like Israel is under siege by the Palestinians, when in reality it's the Israeli army that are in Palestinian towns, cities, surrounding Palestinian towns and cities with Israeli tanks, guns, missiles, helicopters, and not the other way around.
So are you suggesting that the source of the violence is the occupation itself
exactly.
of the Israeli military in the West Bank and Gaza?
Exactly. You got it right on the head. It's really just, like, if the Israeli government truly wants the violence to end, which I strongly do not think that's what the government really wants, then really simply all it takes is for them to withdraw the Israeli army from the occupied territories of the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. Just simply, okay, we're taking our army out, you know, here's your land back. But that's not what we're seeing happening. The Israeli army has an investment in maintaining the occupation, and it's really, they make it seem, I mean, there's been all this rhetoric of, you know, the violence being stopped by Arafat, who supposedly has all this control over his own people, which sort of, you know, paints the picture of these Palestinians as sheep who will, you know, heed the word of Yasser Arafat. If only Yasser Arafat gives the word to quell the violence, then the violence will end. Yasser Arafat is instigating the violence. This is all the rhetoric that's being used by the Israeli government. When in reality, Yasser Arafat has no control over the Palestinian people because Yasser Arafat is part of the system that they are you're revolting against. He, symbolizes the occupation and the power of the Israeli government over the his so-called government. And really, it's like I said, just get the hell out of the occupied Palestinian territories, and the violence will end. It's as simple as that.
What reasons would you present for them to remove themselves from that area?
Well, occupation is illegal under international law. There have been several UN UN Security Council resolutions that have stated simply Israel needs to withdraw from the West Bank and the Gaza Strip. The settlements are illegal under international law. The expropriation of Palestinian land in the West Bank and the Gaza Strip is illegal under international law. The home demolitions are illegal. It's all illegal under international law. So the State of Israel is under violation of several UN resolutions. It's in violation of the Fourth Geneva Convention, and yet Israel still continues to, perpetuate its occupation policies because of its backup by such a power as the U.S.
And that's all the time we have this week. Thank you for listening. The Weekly Freak Show is produced live in the studios of Freak Radio, 96.3 FM in Santa Cruz, California, and can also be heard on Micropower 102.9 FM, on Berkeley Liberation Radio, 104.1 FM, on Free Radio Madison, 87.9 FM, and on the web at unbrokenchain.net/Franklin Towers and PerumpRadio.com. The Weekly Freak Show can be reached at P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. That's P.O. Box 7507, Santa Cruz, California, 95061. Or send email to frsc@microradio.net. That's frsc@microradio.net. And don't forget, you can always listen to the many fine shows on Freak Radio by pointing your browser to www.microradio.net/frsc. That's www.microradio.net/frsc. Our theme music was composed and performed by Neil Norman and his Cosmic Orchestra. For Old Lady Scar Arms and everyone here at Freak Radio, my name's the V-Man, and that's a wrap.